Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Megan Schatzley of the C24 Gallery in New York City. We're talking about their Carol Furman's hyperrealist Hero and Leander exhibition. And you can really prepare to be amazed by these great pieces. We're still in the process of lining up sponsors for Let's Talk Art with Brooke, but in the meantime, if you'd like to support the podcast, please look for my book Reptiles on Caffeine on Amazon. Enjoy the podcast. And if you go to my webpage, letstalkartwithbrooke.com, go to the About page, and we have a survey that we're trying to get an idea of who all is listening or what our audience is like. If you could take the time to fill that out, that would do us a big favor, and that would help us out quite a bit. Thank you so much. Enjoy the podcast. Hi, podcasters. I got Michelle Megre here. How you doing, Michelle?
I'm good. How are you, Brooke?
Doing good. Tell me, I heard about your gallery, and that sounds so cool. C24 Gallery. Tell me all about that.
Sure. So C24 Gallery stands for Chelsea on 24th Street.
Okay.
It is four separate owners, so that's why it has more of a nondescript name versus a lot of the other galleries in New York that are named after one person because they're solely owned.
Cool.
So that's where that came from. And because the owners are from around the world and travel a lot, they wanted to, focus on the location of the gallery.
Cool. Cool. And you guys do all contemporary stuff, right?
Yes, we do not do secondary market. That is part of our mission. We only want to focus on contemporary artists and help build their careers and grow with them.
Cool. Cool. So tell me about the Carol Furman exhibition.
So Carol Furman just signed with us, the gallery, in the fall, in November. And when we started talking with her last summer, we slotted this time frame to have her exhibition. So it would open during Freeze New York, which is the huge art fair that happens here in New York.
Right.
So we scheduled the opening reception to correlate like the day after the art fair opened, so everyone could come here too.
Cool. That's awesome. Cool. And she's got some
Carol is a hyper-realist sculptor. She came of age in the late 70s, early 80s, and is one of the only prominent hyperrealist sculptors of her time, along with Dwayne Hansen. And she's very well known for her water drops that she puts on the sculptures that look like real water. It's funny because people come into the gallery and they ask me, they're like, does someone put water on these every day?
Right, yeah.
I was like, no, it's okay. I'm like, you can touch it because a lot of these are also made to go outside.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, it's okay. You can touch it. You can see that it's really like not water.
Right. I was going to ask about that because it was just so, it's not like she doesn't like spritz water on it every day. She just is there. She actually makes the water out of it. Like, how does she do it?
Well, that is her secret. She won't share that with us.
Okay.
But, and a lot of her sculpture, it varies. Like, the Leda and the Swan piece that's in our exhibition, mm-hmm. that piece is resin, but it's painted with lacquer, which is like a car paint, so it can go outside.
Right.
And that piece specifically just came back from the Venice Biennale.
Wow.
So, recently, yeah.
Wow. And these are just amazing. Do you like walk through the gallery and you just see these people that look like really, really real, like on a beach ball and stuff like that? Do you just freak out?
Oh, yeah. When we open up in the morning and the gallery's dark, we're like, oh, who's in here with us? Until we turn the lights on.
Right.
But it's also great to see people because we have big windows in the front of the gallery, so it's really great to see people walking by and then they see like either Durgama because she's like sitting right in the window, or they see Leda because she's like right front and center with the doorway.
Uh-huh.
So when they walk by the windows, they can see them and they stop and they start glaring in the windows. And we're like, it's okay, you can come in. And
I'm
they
sure.
come in and it's like, it's like Disney world in here.
Right, right, exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And she uses mink for the eyelashes and eyebrows.
Oh, wow.
And it's real human hair that she puts on one strand at a time.
Wow. So that this is like really, really.
And like Lita, for instance, is adorned in a 1920s swimsuit. A lot of the swimsuits and leotards that Carol uses, because it's dancers and swimmers in this exhibition.
Right.
And a lot of the swimsuits are from like the 20s and 30s.
Right. Right. Yeah, I noticed that. So this is not just something you can just throw together. This is like really, really like tedious and meticulous, and just the eyelashes and the hair and I don't even know how she does that. I mean, and this might be a trade secret as well that you may or may not know, but I mean, this is different than regular sculpting, because you know, when I sculpt or when anyone sculpts with regular clay, it doesn't look like this.
Right. Yeah, she starts with a plaster cast. Sometimes she uses actual people and she casts them.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there she does the clay. And then from there she does either the resin or the bronze, depending.
Mm-hmm. Cool, cool.
Yeah, and also she uses Swarovski crystals, like on Lita's cap and on her swimsuit.
Uh-huh.
So those are also placed on one piece at a time with, like, tweezers.
Wow.
Yeah. And from, like, start to finish, when she first, like, realizes an idea for a sculpture, from the very beginning to the very end, it's about a 3-year time frame.
Wow.
So, yes, there is a lot of planning. Like, she's going to be at the Venice Biennale next year, and already we're, like, you know, she's already starting to create from that, for that.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow, that's incredible. And I was watching the little video that's on your website, and she says that most of her pieces speak of survival. What does she mean by that?
That's correct. So, like, Durgama, who's in our window, who's the woman on the lotus flower,
mm-hmm.
she's inspired by the Hindu goddess Durga,
mm-hmm.
and so she sits in complete tranquility on the sacred lotus flower, and she's a symbol of birth, rebirth, and survival,
uh-huh.
which is a common theme present in a lot of Carol's, and almost all of Carol's work. Mm-hmm. Carol, before she was an artist and creator, she lived upstate and was married and lived a suburban life, and mm-hmm. she was unhappy in her marriage, and she got divorced, and she was like, I want to be an artist again.
Uh-huh.
And she moved back to the city, and so she took her kids one day to the beach, and she's sitting there on the beach, and she sees this woman coming out of the water, and it's like she saw it as like breaking through.
Uh-huh.
You know, like you're breaking through, you're overcoming an obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where she started focusing on female athletic dancers and swimmers. I mean, she does do some males as well, but because, you know, they emanate strength from
right.
their muscular bodies, but also having overcome something.
Right.
And that's another thing, is a lot of them are like peaceful. It's like they've just overcome this, you know, hard obstacle, and now they're like, oh, I made it, you know.
Right. Right. That's really inspiring.
It is. And she also focuses a lot on Greek mythology, so mm-hmm. like Leda and the Swan, because she thinks like a lot of these stories from ancient times can now, you know, can still be used in contemporary context.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm not familiar with the Hero and Leander story. How does that go?
So, that's because we have the big monumental diver and dancer in our atrium, and they're brand new pieces, mm-hmm. and so that's why she called the show Hero and Leander, because Leander was actually a swimmer. Hero lived in a tower, like along a strait,
mm-hmm.
and with a light that would emanate from the tower, and Leander would swim every night to Hero, mm-hmm. and they were like lovers all summer long, and the light would guide him across the strait.
Oh, cool.
And then one day, it was really cool. One day, the fall winds or winter winds kicked up, and they blew out Hero's light, and then Leander tossed about in the sea and drowned. Oh. And when Hero got word of it, then she threw herself off the tower.
Oh.
So it's, you know, a tragedy, but so that's where the title of the show comes from.
Right. Well, that's pretty cool. I've never heard that. I'm not familiar with much mythology, but I think that sounds really cool. It's a really cool title.
Talking about the title of the show, she's like, should I call it Leda and the Swan or Hero and Leander? I'm like, oh, Carol, I love Hero and Leander.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, let's go with that.
Yeah. Now, and this might be a silly question, but I don't know. How is, like, in any of your other exhibitions, it sounds like Carol was pretty instrumental in setting up this exhibition. Is that true of all of them? Do the artists, or they play an instrumental role in the setting up and the displaying?
Every artist knows the best way to display their work. It's a collective experience that we all go through. Like, Carol's like, oh, I really want this piece here. And we'll be like, okay, this is great here, but, like, you know, let's not put these other ones here. Let's kind of move them over here. So in this show, it was a Carol, myself, her studio manager, and we did a couple dry runs, like where they would come, and we'd map out everything on paper where it would go. And then when one of the owners who lives in Turkey came when we were installing the show, he also tweaked it a little bit too, and he helped guide us as well and guide her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit, it's a group effort here. And a lot of the shows work that way because a lot of our artists, you know, all our artists are living, so mm-hmm. they want to be involved, and we want them involved, you know.
Right.
This is, you know, their love, their life.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's important for them to be involved and feel appreciated.
Yeah, totally. So
it's a collective effort with us. I mean, like, when we do art fairs and things like that, it's pretty much just us doing, mm-hmm. you know, curating the booths, mm-hmm. but, when it's, a solo exhibition, we're all involved, pretty much.
Cool. So that sounds really cool. I'm just in awe of your gallery. I think it just sounds so awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, if you're ever in New York, please come and visit us.
Yeah, totally. I was wondering, Carol Furman, she also established the Carol Furman Sculpture Foundation. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's correct. So she just established that like a year ago, and what she does is she wants to focus on artists that have been around a while, like that are towards the middle of their lives and that haven't received the recognition that they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
So she just had her first grant that she gave out last December, and we were all there. It was at MANA, where she has two studios in the New York area, and one is at MANA Contemporary in Jersey City.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all went, and they juried. She has a committee that sits down, and all these artists submit work, and then they select so many. I think they might have selected about 15 or so. And then they hold an exhibition there at MANA of the artist's work, and then the committee comes, and then they award a few grants to a few of the artists. And plus, the one artist that gets the top prize also gets to do, like, a residency with Carol for mm-hmm. a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And she picked an artist from New Orleans who we met, and actually who helped, like, do a lot of the press for Carol's show with us, mm-hmm. which was great.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So it was really exciting. It was the first one. She just did it in December. So there'll be another one next year for those artists that are interested.
Cool.
And I think there's is a foundation, and I think the owners of Mana also, they all contribute certain cash awards. So I think that the top prize was like $5,000.
Oh, wow.
And then plus the residency.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's so cool that an artist is helping, like, new artists, you know, get established. Yeah. And I think that's huge.
Yeah, I do too. It's great.
So tell me about your history. How did you get involved in the gallery business?
I've been working in galleries in New York I'd say like 18 years now. I studied art history for undergrad, and I got my master's in art history. But I worked, like, after undergrad, I always knew I wanted to work in New York and in an art gallery.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, after undergrad, I moved to New York and just, you know, worked up through the ranks and learned a lot about the business from working in lots of different galleries, and, you know, because everyone has their own way of doing things.
Right.
I think it's pretty interesting to do it that way, because you learn what you kind of think is best and not as good.
Right. So you've worked in some not so contemporary galleries and stuff, so you've seen the difference.
I worked at more conservative or more reserved galleries and some galleries that have done contemporary and secondary market, but actually a lot of my work has always been some sort of contemporary living artist element to each gallery, and that's something that I've always enjoyed and sort of excelled at, and they've always said, oh, you work with artists really well, we're going to stick you over here.
Cool.
which I enjoy it. Really do.
Yeah.
I think I'd be a little bored myself if I was just in a secondary market gallery.
Right.
I mean, I like it. It's interesting. I understand, like, the auctions and all of that, and that was actually kind of fun, too, getting to research and find what auctions are, like, you know, green artists that we represented, or, you know, other galleries I worked at represented. That was another aspect of the business. It was interesting to learn, but I really just enjoy the interactions with the artists and visiting their studios and, you know, working through problems with them, you know, like about, like, how to do their certain things for their exhibitions and so on and so forth.
Right.
Coming up with the resolution.
Problem solving.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That's very cool, because I'm sure that's really necessary.
Sorry for the noise. We're moving because it's finally like 80 degrees today.
Yeah, that's really... Yeah, it's warmed up here too. So that's...
We've been waiting for spring to show up.
Yeah.
Just did.
Well, we get in Charlotte, we get the weather like you don't know what's going to happen. Like, some days it's really cold, and then, like, the tomorrow will be, like, really warm, so you just don't know how to dress. But I think it's finally warmed up enough to so we can put away,
like,
the winter clothes.
Yeah, it's crazy for May. Yeah.
So I'm excited. So I was wondering, since you're doing all the dancing and the singing and stuff like that for the gallery, I mean, for this exhibition, do you have a large space for it, or so how does that work? How is that placed with everything?
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
Oh, I'm sorry. Since you're doing, like, with this exhibition, you have the dancing and the music and everything. How does that work around the art?
Okay, so we had the dancers performing at the opening. We had a huge, long opening reception. We had a press preview from 1 to 3, and then a VIP client preview from 3 to 6, a public opening from 6 to 8, and then an after party.
Oh, wow.
It was a really long day.
Yeah.
And so the one dancer, Amanda, she's with the New York... the New York Ballet Theater, and she's like a
American Ballet Theater.
She's a senior dancer there.
Cool.
And she posed for the piece Relevé, which is in our show. So
yeah.
Carol asked her to come in perform at the opening, which she did. And then there were two other modern dancers that danced around
monumental sculptures down in the atrium. Mm-hmm. And they had a friend that did an original score. So that was really good. And so, yes, the space is pretty big. It's 4,500 square feet, and it's two floors.
Wow.
With a large atrium that, like, rises 23 feet. But what's really great about our space is that you walk in on the ground floor from the street, and the atrium actually drops down.
Oh, wow.
And then the stairs go down to the lower level, which is sweeps through the space. It sweeps you through the space as you walk in the door. And then also above the atrium is a skylight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
It's really nice. Yeah.
That sounds really cool. So there's no dancers running into paintings.
No. It was well planned out and timed. And they each dance during each special opening that we had that day. Oh, and then also Richie Nuz, he was actually the person that posed for the monumental diver that's in our atrium. So he came too. He's like a model, actor, singer, performer.
Cool.
And he played Katy Perry's boyfriend in her latest video next Friday night.
Neat.
So he was here too. So yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like, you know, America's Got Talent or something.
Right. That's awesome.
But yeah, it was great. And then I had to announce like everybody's performance, each performance, each time that day.
Right.
It was quite a day.
Yeah, that does sound exciting.
Yeah.
So, but did you draw a huge crowd from the streets?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
What's going on in there?
Yeah, I know. Everyone's like, whoa. Yeah. The free cocktails doesn't hurt either.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah.
Cool. That sounds awesome. So do you always do like a big, are all of your exhibitions big events like that?
Not as big as that. Like, we have opening receptions for every exhibition when it opens, and it's usually just 6 to 8 public. We serve like wine and water, red and white wine and water, mm-hmm. And anyone can go.
Right.
All the galleries do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, well, that sounds so exciting. What other exhibitions do you have coming up that you want to promote?
So the next exhibition we have opening July 12th, it's Nick Gentry, and he's an artist based in London, and he's flying over. He's going to land here on the 5th and help us install. We'll go through everything. He loves it. Like, Carol painted the walls gray of the gallery. He wants to keep them gray. So we're like, that's great. No one's painting them white just yet.
Right.
So that makes the in-between show time shorter, which is great because it's going to be a lot just to get these pieces out of here because they're very big. So Nick is, he uses obsolete media. So he uses like floppy disks and cassette tapes and CDs.
Cool.
And then he creates these portraits from them. And what he does is he'll just write on Instagram, I need more floppy disks. and people send them to him.
Yeah.
It's really great.
That is awesome.
And so now he's doing these light boxes with like film and x-rays. And film from actual like 8mm film. And then also from photography film.
Cool.
So, and then he paints on them, and they're really beautiful.
That does sound really cool.
Yeah. So that opening will be on July. It's a Tuesday because it's summertime, so, you know, usually openings are on Thursday here in New York, but in the summer, Thursday's a getaway, day because people take long
weekends. Yeah.
So we're doing a Tuesday night, and it'll be from 6 to 8, and it's open to the public. So if anyone's around and wants to stop by and meet the artist, he'll be here.
Yeah, that sounds really awesome. That sounds really cool. So do you have many famous people come in, like the guy from Katy Perry's video?
We had one of the guys from that show, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, come in.
Yeah, yeah.
I forget. Yeah, he came in recently. David Tutera. Yeah, he was here, and uh-huh. He has like that new show now.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think who else has been in recently. We do get them in.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it's funny because you're like, you do a double take, you're like, they look familiar.
Right,
and
right.
You're like, oh, right.
Oh yeah, I've seen you.
That's so and so.
Yeah.
But what's really funny is at Carol's opening, we had the guy who actually owns the company that makes the blow up swan for Alita and the Swan.
Uh huh. Wow.
Which was pretty funny. He was like, oh my God. He goes, I make these. He goes, I'm the one that started making these, and everyone started copying me.
Exactly. I started it.
So that was like really funny. And he just happened to be in New York, and because he, like, his company is like upstate.
Mm-hmm.
And he happened to be in the city, and he happened to just wander in when he was like in town with his family.
Wow, that's awesome.
It's like really funny. You never know who you're going to meet or who's going to walk in the door.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah. That's so, I mean, is there like obviously she'd used them for this exhibition for her art, but is there a market for large swans?
Apparently there is, because ever Taylor Swift put one in her video, they're sold out. That's what someone told me, they're sold out. And apparently, like, Kim Kardashian has one.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Everyone needs to get their big swans.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. That sounds really cool. Well, thank you so much for talking with me. I really appreciate it, Michelle.
Sure. Thanks for your interest in our show.
Yeah.
And our current exhibition with Carol Fuhrman.
Oh, absolutely. Hang on one second. I'm going to sign off right now. Thank you so much to Michelle McGray of the C24 Gallery for telling us about the Hero and Leander exhibition by Carol Fuhrman. And thank you to you for listening. I know I learned a lot. And if you're in the New York City area, check out the gallery. They got a lot going on. If you're interested in having us promote your product or service, if you have a comment, if you have ideas for future podcasts, or would like to be on the show yourself, please contact me at arttalkwithbrooke@gmail.com. That's all one word and Brooke with an E. Thanks for listening. Let's Talk Art with Brooke has been a Hotspur Media production.